It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another segment. I'm Penny Wolfgang in for Buddy Schuler this week. And it's our opportunity to give you some great legal advice from our very familiar and dear friends at PB Elder Law. And we're going to be talking to Linda Greer, who I hope that you might be familiar with by now. Hi, Linda. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, we're going to be discussing one of the specialties that you all have at PB Elder Law, which happens to be last wills and testaments. And I guess we should maybe start by asking you just maybe a basic question, is, in case people don't know, what happens if you die without a last will and testament?
Certainly. So first of all, a last will and testament is a legal document that you leave behind to give instructions about what to do with your assets after you've passed away. And there is legal formality for that. And sometimes people pass away without having taken the legal steps in advance of their passing to make sure that they have that written document in place. So if you happen to die without a last will and testament in the state of New York, and every state in the nation has something called an intestacy statute. So when you die intestate, you die without a will. And New York state law tells us who inherits. And, you know, it's in general, most of the time, what people would probably want. So, for example, if you pass away and you have a spouse and children, your spouse and children are going to share. If you have a spouse and no children, everything goes to your spouse. No spouse and children, everything goes to the children. But if you do not have a spouse or children, things get a little trickier, because then we start going back up your family tree to who your parents, and if your parents are deceased, to your brothers and sisters, and if your brothers and sisters deceased, to nieces and nephews. And now we start getting people involved that perhaps you would not have wanted to inherit your estate. Maybe you haven't had a relationship with these individuals, and now they're going to inherit by state law because you didn't take the opportunity to put into writing what your wishes might be. I also want to mention that a last will and testament does have to have some formal requirements met in the state of New York. So you can't just write something down or type it up on your own. There is a process for that. You need to sign in front of two disinterested witnesses. You have to declare that it is your will. So there is some formality that is required to assure that you actually have a valid last will and testament in the state of New York.
You read my mind. When I asked you the first question, the next one was, what can people do it themselves? Because you always read, don't you, about people that write something on a napkin, a cocktail napkin, or a piece of scrap paper, and think that that's going to be, you know, valid and going to be what their last wishes are. And of course, as you pointed out, that's probably equal to having no will at all, right?
It is.
Doing it yourself.
And a handwritten will is not going to cut it, unfortunately. So in the state of New York, you cannot have a holographic will like that. That's available to active members of the military, you know, in sort of an active time of war or something like that. But other than that, you have to have a fully sort of typed up, formalized document that is signed at the end in the presence of two witnesses. Now, can you do it yourself? Sure. If you meet all the requirements that the state law requires, you can always do things yourself. The concern that I have is I've often had people, after somebody has passed away, the family shows up with a document that they believed to have been a valid will. And then we have to look at the four corners of that document and see that, oh, it actually did not meet the formality of a will. And then that person basically died without a will. So you can always do things yourself. But with so many things in life, you probably want to speak to a professional about it and make sure it's being done appropriately so that your wishes are going to be followed.
And probably besides writing it on a cocktail napkin or a scrap of paper, for my first examples, probably a lot of people think they can do it by themselves by following some form on the internet. that they, you know, everyone uses for everything, but that is not always going to work either, right?
Correct. So the issue with that is, again, there are formalities, and from state to state, the formalities will differ. So our state is different from other states. So if you just get something off the internet, you don't necessarily know that it's going to meet the requirements. The other thing that's really important is a lot of times people will, you know, they'll have one of the members of the family serve as another witness. And well, that's not going to cut it because that person's not disinterested. Also, at the same time that a will is being prepared, New York State requires that the witnesses sign an affidavit verifying that they saw this person sign their will. They saw the other witness sign the will. And there's some formality with that. And most forms that are just generated off of the internet that I've ever seen don't have that additional requirement being satisfied. And then we're going to have to be tracking people down after the fact, after you've died.
Now, probably another issue that the general public needs to know is, what happens if they change their mind? If they come in and make a will when their daughter is taking care of them and really nice and sweet, and the next thing you know, the daughter marries someone they hate or leaves town or they have a fight, or, and, you know, they've already left so many things and so much to their daughter. And maybe in their mind, they think, oh, no, I did this already. What am I going to do? What can I do about it? But so there is something they can do.
Yes, those documents can always be redone. So a last will and testament, a healthcare proxy, a power of attorney, these documents should always be reviewed every few years anyway. But anytime there's a major change in the life circumstance, you want to review the document. You know, has somebody died? Has somebody gotten divorced, remarried? These things that might change our circumstance to say, maybe the person that I chose as my executor to wrap up my final affairs isn't the appropriate person anymore. Or maybe I don't want to leave the percentages the way that they were before. So it's important to know that you're under no legal obligation to leave anything to anybody except for your spouse. There are some rules there in New York. You have to leave something to your spouse. But you're not required to leave things to your kids. And if you had a falling out with somebody, you certainly could make a change within your document at any time. As long as you have the mental capacity to do a new document, you can always do a new one.
Do you think I use that example because I have a daughter? You think I was thinking about I wonder if she's listening. I hope she's not listening.
Yeah, I'm
I
sure didn't she mean didn't take any personal offense.
I didn't mean
I know you're close to your daughter, so I'm sure it's not that.
I didn't mean you, Robin. What about when you said I was just making a hypothetical. Does the you mentioned executor? That's another thing, that a reason that you want people to understand that they should make a will, because then there's somebody that they choose, which, as you pointed out, you know, they might have to change, but at the beginning, that they can trust, that they know is going to be reliable for them.
Correct. So that person's known as an executor, and you get to choose your executor. And I always tell people, think of at least one primary person and a backup as well. So you always have some contingency plans in case, you know, your first choice is unable to do it, they pass away or they're ill. So you should always pick a primary and a backup. You can also have multiple people. So, you know, I have two children, for example, and if I wanted my two children to act together as co-executors, I could say that in my document. You certainly have the ability to do that. And a lot of times people, when they're thinking about who are they going to choose as an agent, oftentimes people say, well, I'm going to pick the oldest child. And I say, well, that's not necessarily the standard I'm looking for. I'm looking for who is good with paperwork, who is good with follow through and responsible. And maybe that's not the oldest person, but that's who you really want. This the job can be a heavy lift in some cases. You know, they have to collect your assets, make sure your debts and expenses are paid, wrap up all of your final affairs. The process can go on for several months. You want to pick the right person to be doing that. So whoever you're choosing, you want to think about that carefully.
And then how do the heirs receive their assets after somebody passes away?
So essentially, the job of the executor is going to be to collect all of your assets. They do have to make sure that all of your debts are paid before distributions go out per your will to your heirs. But then it's the executor's job to do that. So generally speaking, it's going to be a liquidation of assets, and then checks are written from your estate to the beneficiaries. Sometimes it can be an in-kind distribution. So for example, one of the children might say, well, I actually want the house. I don't want the house sold, I want the house. And so we figure out what's the house worth, and then that child gets that, and then maybe the children, other children get equivalent of other assets in quote unquote cash. That's all possible, but that's what the executor does. They collect the assets, pay the debts and expenses, and make sure that distribution makes its way on to the heirs as you had desired.
And do you always have to go to court every time when you've got a will, when it's being probated, or are there ways that you can avoid that?
So if you, there are ways you can avoid it, and we always want to try to avoid it. So the probate court, probate is the legal process that you have to go through when a person dies and they have assets left in their own individual name that didn't have a joint owner or a designated beneficiary, or prior to death, they transferred ownership. So if I have assets that are all structured jointly owned with my husband, or he's named as my beneficiary, when I pass away, he's getting everything that is not going through probate. Likewise, if my spouse is deceased and I have my kids listed on everything, that's going to also avoid probate. We also like to utilize entities called trusts. So that is, during your lifetime, you actually create a legal entity and you can transfer ownership of assets out of your name in advance into this entity, so that by the time that you die, there's really nothing left in your own individual name that has to go through the probate court. Why we want to avoid probate? There's a couple reasons. Now, we do probate every day. It's not the scariest thing. If it happens, we can help you through the process. That's what PB Elder Law is here for, and that's what we do. But the reason we want to avoid it is a couple things. One is that probate is open to the public. So anybody can see what's going on in the public. If they want to be nosy, they have the right to see what's happening. There are time delays. Right now in Erie County, Surrogates Court is running at a pretty significant delay due to some staffing shortages. So it's taking sometimes 2 to 3 months to get people appointed as an executor after somebody dies. Even after the executor is appointed, there's a minimum time frame in New York. All estates are required to be open for at least 7 months in New York. So most estate proceedings run about a year from start to finish. And obviously, anytime you're doing something like that with attorneys and courts and all that, that costs money. So, we would like to try to avoid some of those delays, avoid some of the extraneous cost, and also keep it private if we can. So those things we can do by, in advance, working with an elder law attorney like us at PB Elder Law to come up with a plan for how can I avoid probate? What's going to be the easiest, quickest way to help my family and keep it smooth?
How can people get more information from about PB Elder Law, or an appointment to talk to you, or a chance to consult with you?
Sure. So the best way, it would be, obviously, people could call us directly, and the phone number is 716-204-1055. But we also have a really nice and informative website, and it's www.pbelderlaw.com. And so there's an inquiry. People can actually click on our photo and send us an email directly, or send a request for more information. We do have some articles and information on that website as well, which I think are informative. So again, it's pbelderlaw.com. I think that's a good place to start if people want to reach out to us.
Well, thank you so much for the information on this segment, Linda Greer from PB Elder Law.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.